nuclear fission, and in 1934, he filed a patent for the nuclear reactor. By World War II, the term atomic had vanished over the hill, as the nucleus had been discovered by Rutherford in 1911, and radiation was known to originate in nuclear decay or splitting, and not by any atomic process. Atomic processes, such as chemical reactions, involve the relatively weak electron cloud surrounding the nucleus. It is the powerful nuclear binding forces that prove to be the greater energy source, the source of radiation. In the highly secretive world of nuclear research during the war, descriptive titles or terms were discouraged, and everything had to be given a cute name. The test bomb in New Mexico was called the Gadget. The bomb dropped on Hiroshima was called Little Boy, and the one dropped on Nagasaki was Fat Man. They called the class of nuclear weapons developed during the war the atomic bomb, straight out of H.G. Wells' absurd description of his highly destructive device, with a wink. It was an inside joke. Immediately after the war, the world was informed of the secret nuclear work, and the term atomic bomb from H.G. Wells' inspirational novel spilled into the public view. From that point, it was hard to stop, and the term became official in 1946, when the Congress of the United States established the Atomic Energy Commission. It was an uncomfortably obsolete name for a serious government agency, and it was finally killed in 1974 when the AEC was replaced by the more dignified-sounding United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission. The term continues on in the names of the Japanese Atomic Energy Commission, the Pakistan Atomic Energy Commission, the Atomic Energy Commission of India, the Commissariat à l'énergie atomique of France, and in an occasional book title. Introduction. The paradox inside a puzzle, inside a fantasy. The purpose of this book is not to sell nuclear power. The advantages of nuclear power have been sprayed liberally on the public since before there was any such thing. Some of the first inklings of this new source of energy came in 1939, when the common perception of a looming energy crisis seemed unusually acute. Douglas W. F. Meyer wrote a piece for Discovery magazine titled Energy from Matter. His article began, "The possibility of making use of the latent energy of the atom is one that has fascinated technicians ever since it was first realized that natural sources of power are limited. Although we are not yet able to say that atomic power is just around the corner, there are indications that a step towards attaining it has been made during the last few months. Already in New York, atomic power has been used to start chemical reactions, whilst in France, scientists engaged in research on this topic are getting worried at the thought of liberating energy in sufficiently vast and sudden quantities to blow themselves and their apparatus out of existence." The timing of Meyer's article could not have been more relevant. World War II had begun in Europe only a few weeks after this article appeared, and suddenly talk of latent energy from the atom stopped cold, while military uses were pursued vigorously and a wall of secrecy was erected to cut off any information flow. 6 short years later, in August 1945, 2 atomic bombs were dropped on Japan, and 2 weeks later an official account of what had transpired behind the wall was published. Atomic Energy for Military Purposes, the official report on the development of the atomic bomb under the auspices of the United States government, 1940 through 1945, by Henry DeWolf Smith, the chairman of the Department of Physics at Princeton University. With the publication of this book, the public imagination was reignited, and the subject of limited natural sources of energy was once more a serious consideration. The battle for hearts and minds began on an industrial scale, as key aspects of the wartime nuclear research were declassified for use in building a civilian-controlled nuclear source for electrical power. It was not an easy sell. Nuclear power had 2 conflicting characteristics. On one side was the horrible superbomb that could obliterate civilization both instantly and with a lingering death by radioactive fallout for any survivors. The superbomb remained in development for decades, and it did not become gentler or less threatening. When the predicted diameter of the bomb crater started to exceed 5 miles, estimates of damage became abstract and meaningless. The public was advised to save itself from nuclear weapons by digging a deep hole in the backyard. There were government pamphlets offering